Last Sunday, I shared with you about the BLESS movement that is moving through Kansas City. It is a movement that is seeking, I said, to connect 50 churches with the sole purpose of blessing the neighborhoods in which each of us live, work, and play. Well, the ideas in the BLESS movement are not new to the history of the church. In fact, the BLESS movement is special because it is simply a repackaging for our time what the church has been doing from the very beginning. I believe if we as a congregation were to internalize the principles and rhythms of the BLESS movement, we will be able to fully flavor the neighborhood that God has sprinkled us in. Last Sunday, we began this journey with the first B in BLESS, beginning with prayer. We talked about how we come to church every Sunday to formulate our exit strategy, what we are going to do to bless our neighborhood as we leave the doors of this building. We come here to formulate or to listen to God for the game plan that He is planning and planting in our hearts and minds. I explained that the mapping that we have available for our neighborhoods can actually help us to pray by name for people, for the people that are living around us, and that would enable us then to allow God to work in a special way, in an unexpected way, and who knows what can come out of doing something like that. Well, today I am going to move on to the next alphabet in the acronym, L, which stands for listen. Now, listening is not something we give much thought to, but the ability to listen is no doubt a very important skill. After all, we are reminded that God has given us 2 ears and just 1 mouth, right? Which means that at the very least, God is telling us that we should be listening twice as much as we speak. Recently, I was reading a book about FBI hostage negotiations. I like to read all kinds of things, and I found that this particular book was very interesting because it was explaining the FBI's techniques as they negotiate with some of the toughest situations in the world. And what they were saying was that when an FBI is called into a high-stakes negotiation with maybe a terrorist or a kidnapper or somebody like that, then the FBI has many tools in its belt. But one of the tools that took me by surprise is a listening team. So what they have actually is when one person is on the phone, the chief negotiator is on the phone trying to talk to the terrorists or whoever is on the other end, they have a bank of 4 or 5 people who are also on parallel lines listening to the conversation. Their only job is to listen, take notes as to what they are hearing, and pass it on to the chief negotiator. Why do they do this? Well, that is because the FBI, because they are in such a high-stakes game, they have studied this in great detail and found that there's something very interesting about human attention. You see, our attention is inherently limited, right? And when we are in conversation with somebody else, usually, our brains are focused on our own agenda. We are constantly thinking about what is our objective, what are we going to get out of this conversation, What are we trying to convince the other person? What are we trying to prove? What are we trying to do? So that is the thing that is constantly in our minds. We are constantly self-centered. We are focused on ourselves. And that, when we are focused on ourselves, it actually reduces our capacity to be focused on the person that we are actually listening to. So, imagine, it's not just that that we are focused on ourselves as well. There's another thing that the FBI has realized that our minds are occupied with. You see, we are also not just focused on ourselves, but as we are hearing the words of the other person, we are also constantly involved in judging this other person. Now let me highlight this for you with this extreme example, and that's why I'm talking about FBI hostage negotiations. Imagine that there is this knucklehead in Colombia who has kidnapped an American tourist. And now he's calling somebody from the other side, his family, and asking for $150,000 to be delivered to a particular location by the end of the week. If not, this American tourist is going to have his guts removed and the whole thing videotaped, and the tape of this process is going to be mailed to the family. Now you are on the other end and supposed to negotiate with this person. Now if you're the one who's responsible to negotiate with the kidnapper, it's really hard for you to resist the thinking in your head that this is such an incredibly horrible person that you're dealing with, and this person definitely needs to go to hell. Right? This is the human tendency. We just cannot help but judge the people that we are dealing with. So the problem is this. Your brain is trying to focus on your mission. Now you have a task of getting this hostage out, and you are also constantly struck by how horrible this kidnapper is. And so after your brain has finished, focusing on your agenda and judging this other person, there is not much brain space left to actually listen to the person on the other side. And because the FBI understands these dynamics so well, and because these negotiations are life and death situations, and they cannot afford to miss a cue that is coming from the other side, therefore, they have dedicated people whose job is only to listen to what is going on. Now, just to complete the story of this particular negotiation that I brought to your attention, because the listening bank was able to listen so carefully, they figure out that this kidnapper, who they initially thought was a political operative trying to make a political point, realized that he's not a political operative. He's just a common thug who's out to make a fast buck. And because of that, because they figured that out, they were able to lowball the negotiation and actually get the hostage out by paying just a little over $4,000 from the asking price of $150,000, and they were also able to get the hostage out safely. Now you may be thinking that you are never going to be involved in those kind of life and death negotiations. But think about this. If you and I are Christ ambassadors, then the fact is that even our day-to-day interactions with the people around us, the conversations that we might have at the grocery store or sitting in the doctor's office, are actually potentially conversations that can have eternal consequences for the people that we are talking to. And if that is the case, if our regular conversations actually are that, you know, have such high stakes, then shouldn't we be listening as carefully as well? Well, James chapter 1 verse 19 couldn't be more clear about this. He says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. In other words, no matter what situation you are in, you have to keep your emotions in check, pay careful attention to the other side, and jump in only when you have carefully thought about your words. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon says this. He says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. So the wisest man who ever lived is telling you that running your mouth before you have heard the other person is both stupid and shameful. Now, being a good listener can help you in all sorts of ways, in your professional lives and in your personal lives. But today I want to talk about listening as a tool that you can use to bless your neighbors. And to talk about listening, I'm going to talk about three things, the ABCs of listening. Okay? So hopefully you can remember the three things about listening, the ABCs of listening. The first A of listening is asking questions. You have heard people saying you get what you ask for, right? Now I think you can actually qualify that phrase further by saying the quality of the information that you get is really dependent on the quality of the questions you ask. If someone were to give you monosyllable answers because you are asking questions, that it is because you are asking questions that can be answered in one word. For example, if you ask, did you have a good day? You are going to hear yes, and you are not going to hear no, because no will elicit a follow-up. And if somebody doesn't want to speak that much, they're going to simply give you a one-word answer. But there is another kind of question that you can ask. It's called an open-ended question. If you were to ask a question like, what was the best part of your day today? That is an open-ended question that with which you can extract much more information out of the reply. Open-ended questions make people think you can get quality information out of the interaction, and the person that you are talking to feels like that you really care for them. So open-ended questions are the first and most important thing in the process of listening to the other person. Jesus was always asking open-ended questions to people around him. One of the questions that I've always wondered about is this one. You see, when two of John the Baptist's followers had heard about Jesus, and then they start following Jesus, Jesus turns back to these two people and asks them, what do you want? Right? Now, it may have sounded rude to your ears, but the question that Jesus is asking them really gets them thinking about what they are doing. Are they simply walking behind Jesus, or do they have a deeper plan for their life? Because Jesus asked them that probing question, they respond back with another question asking, where are you staying, Rabbi? And when they ask that question, Jesus responds and tells them, you can come and see. But there was something very big that actually happened in that interaction. Because in those days, if you really wanted to be following a teacher, and if the teacher wanted to disciple somebody, the students actually stayed with the teacher. And so what these people were actually telling Jesus is, we want to stay with you, we want to live with you, and we want to learn everything from you. When you live with somebody, when you live with the person who you're following, you learn not just from their words, but from all of their life. And that was how it was done in those days. And so they were able to think about what they really wanted to do. They wanted to really hang out with Jesus and be his disciple. And so Jesus invited them to do that, and then they become Jesus' disciples. The best open-ended questions are the what and the how questions. Because these are the questions that really get people thinking deeply about what they really want to do. There's another kind of open-ended question. It's a why question. But I have to caution you about the why questions. Because why questions are inherently confrontational. And unless you have really built a lot of skill in asking a why question, you should stay away from why questions in the initial phases as you develop your listening skills. So if you want to open up the conversation and ask someone lots of what and how questions. How your day went could be a simple opener. How did the activities go gets a little bit more specific. How did that make you feel starts now getting to a deeper level. What does that look like for you is a what question that can open up lots of conversation. Of course, your specific open-ended questions could look different, and you can apply your own creativity and the leading of the Holy Spirit to shape your questions. But remember, your what and how questions are the keys in winning the asking game. If you really want to be a good listener, it begins with the kind of questions you ask in the first place. Once you've asked your questions and you've got the other person to start talking, now you are going to open a floodgate and get all kinds of information. Now, how you react to this information is going to define how the conversation is going to proceed from there. How you react to the information is very critical to how the conversation is going to be kept alive. You see, if the other person's values are not your own, our tendency will be to become judgmental, like we saw earlier in the negotiation example. Negative emotions start welling up inside of us, and that is going to show in our body language. And that's going to be picked up by the person on the other side. If the other person starts getting negative vibes from us, we know that the conversation is not going to go very far, and the relationship itself could end. And that really would be a tragedy. And not just that, that's not really how Jesus would have approached the conversation. In the story with the woman caught in adultery, the Pharisees tried to trick Jesus by bringing this woman who was clearly caught in sin to Jesus. If there was any human being on planet Earth who had the moral authority to judge this woman, it was Jesus. But Jesus listens very carefully in on the situation, and he picks up on a dynamic that was very interesting. What Jesus picks up is the fact that these Pharisees were actually conspiring to both get this woman in trouble and also trick Jesus. And so Jesus turns around and he tells the Pharisees, yes, sure, go ahead and start stoning her. But just make sure that whoever has never sinned in their life should be the first one to cast the stone. This one line transformed the situation so much that these hardened old chaps became so embarrassed of their own sins that they dropped the stones and turned to leave the scene. Isn't that amazing? You see, those words that Jesus proclaimed that day, you know, ring through the passage of time, through the geographic distance, through the cultural barriers, and should be ringing to us even right now. Only we who have never sinned have the right to cast the first stone. We too need to open our hands and drop the stones that we are holding and open our hearts to our neighbors in a non-judgmental way. We extend grace because we have first received it. When we listen without judgment, we create a safe environment where people can truly begin to share their lives with us. I want to add a caveat here. You and I are going to fail even in this area of being non-judgmental. It's not any easier for me. It's as hard for me as it is for anyone else in this room. I can tell you that. But if you start becoming negative, all you have to do is listen to yourself, catch yourself, and you can still save the situation before things get out of hand. Listening without judgment is where the real listening begins. So we looked at the A of listening, which is asking the right questions. We looked at the B of listening, which is put the brakes on being judgmental. We get to the C now of listening, which is compassion. Listening with compassion. You see, once again, I turn to the examples of Jesus, who no doubt was the most compassionate person who ever walked the earth. When people followed him for 3 days as he spoke to them, he was filled with compassion when he looked at the masses and the fact that they had run out of food to eat. And so he turns to his disciples to ask them to feed the masses. When he looks at the city of Jerusalem, he weeps with compassion for the people in the city. When he sees Mary and Martha suffering at the death of their brother Lazarus, once again he weeps with compassion. When he saw the widow who had lost her son in the village of Nain, he's once again filled with compassion and he works to actually bring the son back to life. You see, Jesus does not just look at people and their issues. He is moved by them. And that is the third step in being a good listener. Listening with compassion. Now, our tendency in our conversations is, as I pointed out at the beginning of the sermon, is to really focus on ourselves and our agenda and what we feel, what this person is making us feel. But being a good listener is about listening not just to the words that is coming from the person you're listening to, but about how their situation makes them feel. And it goes one step further. It is about allowing us to be moved by their feelings, that is what compassion is all about. It's about not being self-absorbed individuals, but about opening ourselves so that other people can share into our lives and we allow ourselves to be moved by other people. So it is not just about hearing what they have to say, but about sensing their emotional state and allowing us to be affected by their emotional state. Just as Jesus was moved every time he was in the presence of human suffering. That is what it means to have compassion. So compassion is the third component of listening well. The ABCs of listening. Asking open-ended questions, hitting the brakes on being judgmental, and stepping on the accelerator of compassion. I came across a TED talk on listening last week by a woman named Roni Polanski. She was sharing one day that she went one day to an art festival in the town of West Philadelphia. She dragged two chairs to this art festival, set it on the lawns there, and put up a notice that said, "I will listen with compassion, without judgment, and with an open heart. So is there something that you need to say? If so, tell me. I will listen." When people saw that, people came and sat in that chair across her all day long. Some people said, "We just want to sit here for a few minutes." And those conversations went on for quite a long time. They talked, people talked and talked, and she talked and they listened. At the end of the day, there all kinds of conversations came out of that setting. And this lady, Roni Polanski, came to realize that actually people all around us are dying to be heard and to be known. Now, my challenge for us today is this. The question that I want to ask is, what if the church in general, and what if our church became known in our neighborhood as the place where people can come and talk when they want to be heard without judgment and with compassion? Would that be a way of making our presence felt? Would that be a way of expressing to our neighborhood the compassion and love that we have experienced in Christ? Would that be a way to love and bless our neighborhood? Well, I think so. In fact, a listening expert made this statement that resonates with me. Listening, she said, is one of the most powerful ways to love. What if our church community became known as the people in our neighborhood that were sought out when our neighbors wanted to be heard? Let us pray. Loving God, we speak to you because you have told us that you want to listen to us, that you care for us, that you are moved by our own emotional lives, that you have compassion on us. And we have you to come to be heard. We can pour out our hearts to you. And we can sense your love for us. No, Lord, I pray that that love that you have for us would turn outwards towards our neighborhoods. Because we know that there are people out there that just want to be listened to. They want to be heard. in a deep way, in a meaningful way, in a way that communicates that their lives matter. So help us, O Lord, to become that kind of person, a person who can turn our lives towards other people, to just sit and listen. Because you created all of us. You created us for a purpose, and you created us for community. So help us, O Lord, to become the kind of community that you want us to be by first becoming good listeners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.